Would you please turn your Bible to Acts chapter 14? Acts chapter 14. Some people cannot have enough of the roller coaster ride. They would stand for hours in the line and for a 3-minute ride and then go right back to the line so they can have a more ride. In the meanwhile, other group of people, just hearing the word of a roller coaster, they hauled the last night's dinner. While I was preparing this sermon, I found an interesting fact about the roller coasters around the world. Do you know the fastest roller coaster in the world can travel 149 miles per hour? And you may say, well, 149 miles per hour is no big deal. But think about it. You do it open cart. Okay? Half of your body might be inside, but your upper body is in open. And you will feel every bit of it. I've seen the picture of the people's face traveling 149 miles per hour. If you think about it, you're having a wrinkle. You don't have a wrinkle. Well, because your face is blown backward. Your nose is in the back. Then, another fact. The highest drop, the longest drop of the roller coaster is 418 feet above ground. And it drops 418 feet from the top to the bottom. That is about 30-story building height. 30-story under 5 seconds. Barely over 4 seconds, I calculated. There is one roller coaster that was fascinating to me. It was not the biggest. It's not the fastest. It's not the baddest. It is known as a Gatekeeper that is located in the Cedar Point in Sandusky, Ohio. But it pulled 4G. You know what the 4Gs are? It means a 4 times of your gravity. And it has a 6 inversions. That means that you are completely upside down. The reason is the one I think is fascinating is that as you can see, these people are not sitting inside a cart. Their legs and their arms has a completely outside. Only thing that keep them intact is a harness and a little bucket seat with a headrest. And they travel 67 miles per hour through these two twin tower that is standing about 100 feet above ground. And they said that they call this 2 keyholes. Think about it. You're traveling 67 miles per hour, your legs completely dangling, and sometimes going upside down like this. You're looking at the ground and going through the keyholes. The people who rode this roller coaster, after they got off, they said, you feel like your head and your knees are going to get chopped off as you go through the keyholes. I bet that's quite a ride. Okay, I know some of you are thinking, now, roller coaster, you can get off and puke a couple times, it's over. But what about the roller coaster of a Christian life? Ever since you got to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the ride of your Christian life has been up and down, side to side. There was ins and out of the twist. The secret of this ride is trusting the one who holds the cart and the rail all together. Trusting him. Knowing that he will get you through. Getting off of this ride is not much of a choice. We've been there. We've been in the bottomless pit and where there was no hope. Muck and mires. Some people say, well, good old days. Really, that was a good old days? No hope? With no future? No eternal life? Some people think that that's okay. Well, by all means, if you think that's okay, go for it. On the first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas took with them just enough to live on, sufficient clothing to cover themselves and a heart full of hope in God's truth, and total confidence in the Lord that would keep them faithful. That's what kept them together. And that's what steeled them against the tightening jaws of the mistreatment in the ministry. Last week, we learned that the persecution against Paul and Barnabas by the Jewish synagogue leaders were coming along in Antioch. And it was so severe that they had to leave the city. And this was not anything unusual, because the devil was right behind all this persecution. And this morning, we are going to follow them. We are going to follow them into the different cities and find them. They also, the persecution followed them. And we will stop at here and we will learn how they handled the situation, their Christian life. Let's stop and pray. Father, we come to your presence. Father, we realize that our Christian life is not easy ride. Devil is against us. But we know that greater that is in us, the Holy Spirit, is the more powerful and stronger than the one outside, the devil. The world is not going to cheer for us. And as a matter of fact, the world is trying to hurt us and tempt us and pull us down. Father, we are asking you to give us strength to endure and trust in you. Father, still in our heart your truth, that we may know how to handle each difficult situation and strengthen our feet, our hands. Let us focus on the Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Father, we also pray for our President Obama, that he may come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And we pray for the uniformed personnel who keep us safe and keep our freedom, our troops and law enforcement personnel and the firefighters. Father, we are asking you to keep them safe as they protect us. And asking your anointing to be upon the one who speaks and forgive his sins. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 14, please. Now it happened to the Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews. So spoke that the great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against brethren. Therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace. I want you to note that word, the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, part sided with the Jews, part with the apostles. And when the violent attempt was made by the both Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them. Can you tell by now they are kind of regular persecution magnet? Wherever they go, they just draw the persecution on them. Iconium is, put up the map, please. Iconium is located up here, east of the Antioch, about 100 miles away from Antioch of the Pisidia region. So we traveled from Antioch of Syria to the Seleucia, which is a harbor, and to the Salamis of the east of the Cyprus, and they traveled another 90 miles, Paphos, which is the capital of the Cyprus. And then from here across the Mediterranean Sea, Attalia, which is a harbor, and so travel to the Perga, and from there to the Antioch. Now we arrived in the Iconium with the apostles in Iconium. And from here we are going to travel to the different cities. Even though it is within the Roman region, it's more influenced by the Greek culture than other cities. The Lord granted his miracle through the Paul and Barnabas as they preached the word of God to these Jews and Gentiles. Listen to me, please. Signs and wonders, or we also call it miracles, were their credentials that they were indeed their true servants of God. Faith cannot be based on miracles. You hear me? Faith cannot be based on miracles. And faith can be bolstered by the miracles. The important thing is the word of grace that performs the work of his grace. Are you with me on that? The word of grace is performed word, a work of grace. These two godly men were so sensitive by the leading of the Holy Spirit, they knew when to stay and when to leave the city. When soon as the Holy Spirit gave them a go sign, they hightailed out of Dodge City. And go to the Lystra in verse 6. Let's go there. And they became aware of it and fled to the Lystra and Derbe, cities of the Lycaonians, and to the surrounding region. And when they were preaching the gospel, there, in Lystra, a certain man without a strength in his feet was sitting, and crippled from his mother's womb, who had never walked. And this man heard Paul speaking. Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had a face to be healed, and said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped and walked. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in Lycaonian language, "The gods had come down to us in likeness of man." And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was a chief speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in the front of their city, brought oxen and garland to the gate, and intending to sacrifice with the multitude. But when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes, ran in among the multitude, cried out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to living God, who made heaven, the earth, and the sea, and all things that are in them, who in the bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and a fruitful season, filling our hearts with food and gladness." Verse 18, and with these things they could scarcely restrain the multitude from the sacrificing to them. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, and supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. This time, now they traveled southwest from Iconium to the Lystra, about 40 to 50 miles. I don't know the exact distance. Since this is 100 miles, I can say that's about 40 to 50 miles. And the Lystra is the place where we are ended up. And this is the place that Apostle Paul visited all three times in his three missionary journeys. What Apostle Paul and Barnabas did here was not some same kinds of con artist miracles that performed by the TV evangelist nowadays. I would not mention one particular person's name, Benny Hinn. Anyway, I entertained myself by watching him. The things he did. Have you ever seen? How many of you guys have seen the Benny Hinn's thing? Raise your hand. How many of you guys never seen Benny Hinn? Good, you haven't missed anything. Benny Hinn has his things, and one of the things he does is blowing air. to the people. Supposedly, he is so filled with the Holy Spirit, the air Holy Spirit influenced people, knock them down. That's what they call slain by the Holy Spirit. Problem with that is, I know it's a charismatic thing, problem with that is there's no base, biblical base about that. You don't find anywhere regarding the slain by the Holy Spirit in the Bible. They may say, well, the garrison of the soldiers came into the Garden of Gethsemane, and when Jesus said, I am he, and they all withdrew and fall backward. It was spoken by the God Almighty, and the authority came upon them. It pretty much put them down. It has nothing to do with the slain by the Spirit, the idea of believers falling backward, or empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It's two different things, not in the same context. Another thing they do, Benny Hinn does, I've seen this, the front row people, they're all standing. He was in death mode, and he took his white jacket off, and he flung it toward the people. They all fell backward. He was doing all this stuff on the stage, and there was one guy stood up, and he blew the air, Benny Hinn blew the air on this man. He didn't fall backward. He did it again. By then, Benny Hinn was irritated by this guy, and he didn't fall backward again. Finally, a guy behind him kind of yanked it down, so he fell backward. Listen to me. If they're slain by the Holy Spirit, it's a genuine job of the Holy Spirit. Why do they need to catch people falling backward? Am I making sense? If it's a real Holy Spirit's work, do you think a Holy Spirit can protect a man who's falling backward and so that he doesn't bust his head open? You betcha. God takes care of his people. But they always catch people because they fall backward. Well, we don't want the head injury here and have a lawsuit. And the group of people stand right in front of the stage and they screen who can go up, who cannot go up. If it's a really sick person, they don't allow the person to go up to the stage. It's a known fact. Because they don't want to deal with that kind of real illness and sickness. Because Benny Hinn cannot do that. Benny Hinn is taking the glory of God from him and using it for financial gain. And some of you may think that, well, it's not nice of you to name the brother that way and talk bad about him. I have to wonder if he's my brother. I'm not judging his salvation, but I'm judging his action. Because what he's doing is against the Word of God. And they go from city to city, and they're literally squeezing every penny out of the people's pocket. Listen. Miracle merely attract attention. And in many ways, it can draw unwanted attention. Miracle itself, listen, saved no one. You with me on that? Jesus made it very clear to us in the book of Matthew. Keep your finger in the book of Acts. Go to Matthew chapter 16, please. Matthew 16, verse 4. If you have a red letter Bible, it is in red letter because Jesus is speaking. A wicked and adulterous generation seek after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. What is the sign of Jonah? What is the sign of Jonah? Come on, talk back to me. Huh?
Judgment,
exactly. Sign of Jonah is judgment time for the adulterous and wicked generation. In Greek mythology, it was common for the Greek gods to come down to earth in human form. And there was a legend in Lystra. Zeus and Hermes came down on one time, and the whole city never showed hospitality with the exception of one couple. These two gods were upset, and so they decided to fry out the entire population except one couple. It is no wonder these people of Lystra decided, wow, these two guys, they must be Zeus and Hermes. We don't want to go through that thing again. We don't want to be fried. So let's treat them well. That it is no wonder they tried to sacrifice to them. There are two things I want all of you to notice. Number one, elusiveness of popularity. Elusive popularity. We often see and weird, even flat out wrong behavior and the things they say and do on TVs, magazines, and you name it. One of the things that really bothers me is the young woman, Miley, whatever, she used to be Hannah Montana. Now she is a total trash. Another one, she is competing with another one is Gaga, Lady Gaga. I wouldn't call her lady, but that's the name. They competing. They made the Madonna used to be a trash. Now do this to make the Madonna look like a some Catholic nun. And they do this for the 15 minutes fame. I know that it is human nature to be liked. If there is a moment the Apostle Paul and Barnabas to enjoy their popularity, this is it. They would justify, hey, they think we are God, we are important to them, so if we teach them about Jesus Christ, they will listen to us. Let's do it. Let's let them think that we are God. No. That's not how the true ministers of God operate. Paul and Barnabas oppose what they're doing and boldly claim that what they're believing is nothing more than vanity. Listen to me, please. Popularity is extremely unstable, in case you haven't noticed. As long as people like you, you are their favorite. But if you say or do anything against their likes or themselves, you will find yourself on their hate list quickly and instantly. Good example, Phil Robertson of the Duck Dynasty. I'm not redneck enough to watch that program every week. There are 14 million people watch that program, Duck Dynasty, every week. To please less than 3% of population, gay and lesbians, and he decided, okay, Phil Robertson is going to be put out. Now, they're backtracking, beep, 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 and then backtrack, and say, okay, Phil Robertson, you can come back in. Do you know another company did that? Cracker Barrel. Cracker Barrel restaurant. Have you ever been in a Cracker Barrel? They have a good food. If you walk out the door still hungry, it's your own fault. They give you enough food. Cracker Barrel decided, well, we'll pull out all the Duck Dynasty stuff out from their inventory. They did that. Their Facebook was loaded with a statement by the Christians. And they, next following day, they said, okay, we're going to put our item back in the inventory. They didn't realize how fast the Christian people can react. So, let me say this. If you, to be like them, you have to be gutless, characterless, and truthless. Well, what do you know? You just became a regular politician in Washington, D.C. Huh? 1 minute, Paul was considered as a god to be worshipped. Next moment, he was a criminal to be slain by stoning. That's popularity. Second point I'd like to bring it to you is a true grit. True grit. After this angry mob had their execution by stoning Paul, people who liked Paul, including Barnabas, were stunned and stood around this lifeless body of Paul. I'm sure in their mind, wow, our friend is dead. Wouldn't you know, Paul's head started to move. His arms and legs started to move. And pretty soon he sat up, take a deep breath, put himself in composure, and brush off some of the larger rocks from his body, and dust himself off the ground. And then do you know what he did? He walked right back into the Lystra city. Put yourself in his sandal. If somebody stoned you to death in Sarita or Green Valley because you're preaching the gospel, what would be the first mindset? What would be the first come to your mindset? Get in the car, get out of Dodge. Right? Don't look at me like you're so spiritual that you would not think about that. I would. First service, and then one guy said, well, grab an M16. Folks, our idea is to get out there. This man is so determined to go right back to the place where he was stoned to preach the word of God. In 13 years, by the way, that is a true grit. In 13 years ministry in our church, I've been called a few names. Tyrant is the first one, and the second followed by bigot and narrow mind, because I teach the word. And the one thing really bothered me is when somebody said, my teaching is not deep enough. Let me put it this way. If I teach any deeper, you would feel like you are in the Bible college. And some people say, well, I cannot understand you because of your Swedish accent. What's in your hand? I hand out a sermon note. Can you read? Can you read what you see here? You hear, you read, and you feel out three things. A friend of mine who is a pastor up in White Mountain said, do you hand this out to your congregation every Sunday? So I said, yes. And he said, your congregation do not have an excuse not to learn the Word of God. Even if you don't understand my accent, even if you don't understand my broken English, you can read. If you follow that, you will get it. The reason why people don't get it is because they choose not to follow the Word of God. Just like these people in the Lystra, they reject the Word of God. We talked about the rejection and reception last week. By choice. The people who leave the church and with that kind of excuse, they say, always put the blame on somebody else. Put the blame on the pastor, put the blame on somebody else, and they say, we are more spiritual, so we got to get out of here. I don't know if they are more spiritual or not. They'll let the Lord be judged. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm teaching the Word of God. Listen to me. A ministry that lasts is a ministry that relentlessly persevered through the period of enormous persecution. It's not fickle. And it does not need applause of people. It rejects being shrined as a god. Authentic ministry delivers the truth of God, no matter how jagged edge or perilous the threat is. The ministry of Apostle Paul and Barnabas dripped with that kind of determination. That's why he could stand up, dust himself off, and go right back into the Lystra to preach the gospel. By the way, some theologians believe that this is the time Paul actually died, and he had experienced the vision of the heaven that he mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Remember that portion? There was a man who went up to heaven and saw the things that is not man is not allowed to express. And he went on. By the way, just for the side note, for no extra charge, have you ever read the book? Some of the people who supposedly died and went to heaven and saw Jesus and came back, and they write a book, of course, always do. And they write all these things about the heaven. I have a problem with that. Apostle Paul, who in my opinion, one of the most articulate speaker, orator in my life, he said there's not a word to describe heaven, and he would not describe heaven. And these people who are far less than Apostle Paul, just writing a book. Wow. Something is not right here. Am I making sense to you? Be careful, those after-death experience books. A lot of them are New Age concept. Be careful how you take it. I know, I've been given several books before. Some people say, well, you got to read this. I say, uh-huh, sure. Go down to verse 20, please. By the way, there is no place in the Bible whether that is true, that that's when the Apostle Paul had the experience or not. So when the Bible is silent, what do? We are silent. Verse 20, second half. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthened the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, saying, We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. So when they had appointed elders in every church, pray with the fasting, they commend them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And after they had passed through the Pisidia, and they came to Pamphylia. Now when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to the Attalia. From there they sailed to the Antioch, where they had been commanded to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. Verse 27, now when they had come to gather the church together, and they reported all that God had done with them, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, so they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Would you put up the map one more time? And you may say, why you keep showing the map? Because a lot of times, I studied it under some other Bible teachers, a lot of times they don't show map and you have no idea where the Lystra or Iconiums are. And it's hard to follow that kind of thing. So let's have a visual. We started from the Antioch, about 12 miles, Seleucia, that's port city, traveled to the Salamis, and we went all the way here. Now, they are going back from Derbe to Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, all the places they were persecuted, down to Perga and Attalia, and crossing northeastern Mediterranean Sea and back to Antioch is located in Syria region. I'm sure they were exhausted. The whole mission trip took over a year. Yes, they didn't drive. They were on their feet. They were walking or sailing. It was not easy, cruise ship. It was sailboat. And they did all this over a year time. And they put this first missionary journey in the logbook. And they were exhausted but exuberant. And in all that Paul did, the glory went to God. He never forgot about what God had done, not what he had accomplished. Just like that, listen to me please, work may be ours to do, but the glory belongs to the Lord. The responsibility is ours to embrace, but the credit is the Lord's alone. Don't even think about embezzling the glory of God. If anything good happens, it's done by Him. If there is any problem, guess who caused the problem? Us. Because anything God does is perfect. It all belongs to the Lord. And that attitude never failed to put everything in proper perspective. Amen? Three applications. Number one, My challenge to you and to myself for the year 2014 is to live carefully examining life through the eyes of God in unexamined age. Nowadays, anything and everything flies except the truth. This is my thought. I could be wrong. It's not the first time I was wrong. You remember that what just happened in the state of Utah. Same-sex marriage was granted by the federal judge. And the Utah, even though they are cult, the Mormons are very conservative. They are taking this to the Supreme Court. Knowing Anthony Kennedy, one of the judge in the Supreme Court, and he will say it will be unconstitutional for gays to be cannot be married. It will be 5-4 decision to grant gay marriage in America. I'll be surprised if it doesn't happen. Then there is a pretty much last thread that holding the wrath of God. God judged Sodom and Gomorrah because of their homosexuality and their perversion. And some people will try to say, well, it's because of the violence. Violence is a minority against to compare with the perversion they are doing it. They are directly going against God's will. God did not create man and man and woman. You try to reverse, pervert that thing, God will deal with that. God has been patient to America for all this time. That judgment message of Jonah will come down. In this kind of time, you need to stay put. Look at everything from the eyes of God. And don't quit being a true Christian. Second application. If your faith cannot be made it through the adversity, it's not a real faith. And you may say, that's harsh. No, listen to me. The faith cannot be tested is not the faith that cannot be trusted. Real faith gets stronger through hardship, not weaker. It becomes more resilient, not fall apart. Are you with me on that? Third application, the essence of the Christian life, listen to me, knowing God, walking with Him, and making Him known. Three things, knowing God through the Word of God, walking with Him with your life, don't segregate your Sunday morning time and the rest of your time. Thirdly, making Him known. That's a commandment. It's not just for the job of pastor or the evangelist. That's your job. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up and pray.